Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Daled. We will begin at Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, six lines from the bottom, Dinim Mominus. So we learned in the Mishnah, Dinim Mominus, when it comes to Dinim Mominus, Hakum Malamdim, anybody can make an argument, L'schus, L'chayva. Dinim Fashis, when it comes to Dinim Fashis, only for schus, only for acquittal, can arguments be made, not l'chayv, not for conviction. So the Mishnah said that by dinim mamonos hakol, everybody can make such arguments, seemingly afila edim, that even the edim who testified can now make arguments. Ask the Gemara, name of Masnison, it seems that our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, he followed the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, v'lay Rabbanan, not the opinion of Rabbanan. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, the pasuk says, "Ve'ed echod l'yana benefesh." A eid echod has no right to say testimony. So, as the Rishonim point out, even though pasuk pshat, is that the pasuk is teaching us that an eid echod can't say testimony, we know that that's not what the pasuk is teaching us. There's already another pasuk, Lo Yokum Eid Echod, that we don't accept the testimony of a single witness. This pasuk must be coming to teach us a different halacha. It must be coming to teach us, Bein L'schus Bein L'chayva, that the aid who said testimony cannot make any arguments afterwards, Bein L'schus Bein L'chayva, under any circumstances. And we'll explain this opinion of the Rabbanan soon better. Even if the witness said testimony against the defendant, he can make an argument for acquittal, but he can't make an argument for conviction. So our Mishnah that says that anybody by capital case, by Dina Nefashis, Hakol, could say an argument for acquittal doesn't seem to be following the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because our Mishnah is seemingly teaching us that Edom can't say arguments for acquittal, and Rabbanan say they can't say any arguments. So it must be following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, who holds that arguments can be made for acquittal, not for conviction, even by the Edom. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, no, we could say that our Mishnah, when it's speaking about a kol, is not referring to the Edom. That's not the subject. That's not the issue our Mishnah is addressing. Rather, our Mishnah is speaking about Echman HaTalmidim, one of the Talmidim. What and when can a Talmud say? The Divrei Hakol, and therefore it has nothing to do with the Machlokes of Rabbanan Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Now the Gemara, since it quoted the Machlokes of Yosef Yehuda Rabbanan, tries to explain it somewhat. It says there in my time, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Damakra, Eid Echol Yana Benefesh Lomus. This pasuk ends with the words Lomus. Says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the pasuk is teaching us Lomus, to speak for conviction, who the Eina Aina. That's when the aid cannot make an argument. But if it's not lomus, if it's not for conviction, avilus chus, aina, he has the right to make an argument. Rabbanan, what about the opinion of the Rabbanan? That the Rabbanan hold that Aden cannot offer any arguments after their testimony, whether it's l'schus or whether it's l'chayva, explains with shlokish the opinion of the Rabbanan. Amre shlokish mishum the Mexican negay beidusay. If they're going to make an argument, if they're going to say something, if they're going to make arguments after they said testimony, it looks like they're negay be'edus. And the Rishonim explain why does it look like he's mechsi be'edus. Because the aid came, obviously, an aid came and said testimony for conviction. And now the aid knows that he can't retract or modify his testimony. Because the halacha is, kivin shehigid, shuvein achayzru magid. You can't change your testimony. You can't modify your testimony. But he's concerned that his testimony may be found to be Edom Zomimim. And once he finds him to be Edom Zomimim, now the aid, as we've discussed previously, will be punished. To avoid such a circumstance, now the aide comes up and tries to make arguments that will exonerate the defendant and therefore won't end up in a situation that he could be an Edom Zomimim. So since he's a negei be'edus, that's why we're concerned that he's going to lie for his own good, and that's why we don't trust him. And we can't let him make any argument, not l'choiv, nor l'schos. There's a number of issues to address. One question is, our Gemara, the machlokes that we're now discussing, the machlokes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, is regarding the Edom. Can the Edom offer arguments after they testified? Can they not? But it's clear that the defendant himself can offer arguments to exonerate. Isn't he the biggest negei be'edus, the defendant? If we're now concerned about negei be'edus, why aren't we concerned about the negei be'edus of the defendant? So, I saw two answers. One answer is as follows. When the defendant makes arguments, the Beis Din understands that the defendant is going to do anything to prove that he's innocent. And they therefore take that into consideration as they hear those arguments. However, the Edom are not people that Beis Din are concerned may have something to hide. And therefore, we're more concerned about the Edom than we are about the defendant. Another teretz, somewhat similar, is as follows. There is a process in Beis Din. There's a procedure in Beis Din. A procedure in Beis Din is that arguments are made, and the Edom say their testimony, and then the defendant, the plaintiff, each try to make arguments to prove their point. We can't change the procedure of Beis Din. That's the procedure of a court. That's a court procedure. But we can change that the Edom, after they say their testimony, should still offer arguments. That is not a normal, natural part of the procedure of a Beis Din, and therefore we could say it's negei be'edus. The Mefarshim also say that this Gemara is actually perhaps a raya to a shaila that we've discussed previously. We've discussed the question, what is the issue about somebody being a negei be'edus? We've actually offered two explanations, not our own explanation of the Achroinim. One is we're concerned Shem Yishakar, that he may lie. Another concern that we've suggested is that he's Adam Karvei Tzal Atzmai. And that's why a person can't say Edus. Here we seem to have a raya that the concern of Negeya be'edus is only regarding Shem Yishakar. And that's why here we're concerned that the Edom may lie, as we explained a moment ago. But that wouldn't have anything to do with his Adam Karvei Tzal Atzmai, because the Ed himself is not the defendant. They're not the ones that we're concerned. They're not the people on trial. Another very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Our Gemara, teaching us the opinion of the Rabbanan, is that Edom, after they offer testimony, cannot make any further arguments by Dinei Nefashos. That's the Gemara. What will be the halacha by Dinei Mamnes? Can they make arguments or not? Many Rishonim are of the opinion that why should we differentiate between Dinei Mamnes and Dinei Nefashos? The Pasuk says, we quoted it at the beginning of the parak, Mishpat Echad Yolachem, and Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mamnes are treated the same way. And if we're learning that Edom can make arguments after they offer testimony by Dinei Nefashos, so too will be the Din by Dinei Mamnes. There are other Rishonim, however, differentiate between Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mamnes. And they really offer two arguments, two very cogent arguments. One argument is a concept that Tosfos already taught us at the beginning of the parak. By Dinei Nefashos, it's very easy to understand what is Zchus and what is Chayva. Conviction and acquittal are very identifiable. By Dinei Mamnes, there's no Zchus and Chayva, because they're two litigants. If I lose, you win. If you win, I lose. So it's a different concept. Another nafkamina
It's because when I explained, it wasn't my explanation, the explanation of the Rishonim, why it's considered Negei Bei Dusoi, because the concern was the Edom have some personal stake here. What's the personal stake that the Edom have? Because they may become Muslim. We've discussed, it's an ongoing machlokes, almost every blot in this perek we could use as a raya, if the concept of Hazama is applicable by Dini Mominus. So it's a machlokes. From here we could say, so if Hazama is not applicable by Dini Mominus, so then the Edom have nothing to be concerned about, and therefore the reason that the Rabbanim give that they can't offer arguments after they said testimony would not be applicable by Dini Mominus. As the Gemara Benada, we've said that according to the Rabbanim, Edom can't say can't offer arguments after they offer testimony. Rabbanon, hai lomus my darshibai. What do they do with the words lomus? And it says the Gemara, mukmalei bach matamidim. According to them, the pasuk is not talking about the aid. It's rather talking about one of the talmidim. Ketanya, as we learned in the Brisa, oma echem an aidim yeshli lalamda of schus. If one of the aidim says, I have a reason to argue that he should be exonerated, menayin shein shaymeloi, temeloi me'ed echel layana. Menayin l'echem talmidim, one of the talmidim sitting in Besdin, shami yeshli lalamda of chayva, I have reason for conviction. Menayin shein shaymeloi, we don't pay attention to that argument. Temeloi me'echod layana b'ne fish lomus. Only lomus for conviction, but not for acquittal. So we learned in the Mishnah, din in the fashis, hamalamet chus, enamalamet chayva. That during the deliberation, one of the dayonim made an argument for acquittal. He no longer has a right during the deliberations, that's what the Mishnah says, we'll go into the Gemara, to make an argument for conviction. Amar Rav, says Rav, lo shanu b'shas masam matan. This that the Mishnah said that he can't change his mind is only during the deliberations. Al-Bashas Gemardin, when it comes to actually issuing the verdict, taking the vote, the final vote, the Allah is Malamat Chus, Choy is Malamat Choyva. He can, even though he made an argument for acquittal, he could change his mind. 2 points. One is, why indeed is the halacha that he can't change his mind during the deliberation? That there's no question. It's within the Mishnah. So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One is, going back to the pasuk that the Gemara keeps on going back to, v'hitziloi ha'eda, we always try to get an acquittal. Another pshat, an interesting pshat, is if a dayan is sitting there, and this dayan originally argued for acquittal, if he's now going to change his mind and argue for conviction, that may change the entire mood, entire environment of the room. And others who originally thought that he should be acquitted will also start rethinking what's maybe he should be convicted. To avoid having such a scenario, during the deliberations, he can't change his mind. However, I did see that the Rishonim point out, just a continuation of what we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, the Gemara spoke about a mistake, which is considered an obvious mistake. What was the way the Gemara called it? Dover shat tzedoikim moidim ba. If it's such an obvious mistake, it's a pasuk in Chumash, because the tzedoikim agree to what it says in the Chumash, that is considered a very, very obvious mistake. Say the Rishonim, if the dayan during the deliberation made an argument, even l'schus, even for acquittal, but then he realizes that he forgot a pasuk in the Chumash, that's not considered changing your mind, and he can then argue for conviction. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei, asked the Gemara, we're going to learn the Mishnah. Daf Mem, l'machris, the day after Meshkim Mboim, they come to Besdin. Hamazaka Oimer, the dayan who was saying, who was arguing for acquittal, said, Ani Hamazaka, Mazaka Ani B'mkoymei, I stick to my position of acquittal. Hamachayev Oimer, and the one who was arguing for conviction says, Ani Hamachayev M'chayev Ani B'mkoymei. The Mishnah continues teaching us, Hamalamet Choyev Malamet Chus, the one that was arguing for conviction can now argue for acquittal. Avlam tzchus en yoch laksa lam tchayva. He can't argue for conviction. Assumes the Gemara. V'alamachros gmadinhu. The next day we're talking about the final vote. And here it says that the one that was arguing for acquittal cannot change his mind. So how could Rav say you could change your mind when it comes to the final vote? Ask the Gemara. The question's not a question. Answers the Gemara. Well, tameich.
Lamachris, Masa Matmi Leka. Does the halacha necessarily tell us that all deliberations have to end in the first day? We can have a situation that the next day they're going to continue deliberation. And when the Mishnah is speaking about that the one who is saying acquittal has to stick to that position, it's talking about Kiktani, that the next day they're continuing Mass of a Matin, and there he has to stick to his opinion. Only by the vote does Rav suggest that he could change his mind. Toshma. That Mishnah continues discussing the following situation. We know that the Sanhedrin has 71 members. And if there's a deadlock, even in a Beis Din of 23, we discussed this briefly, we're going to discuss this more at length later, we keep on adding Dayonim. But the maximum amount of Dayonim you could have are 71 Dayonim. We have 71 Dayonim, and we have the following vote. 36 for conviction, and 35 for acquittal, which is halachically a deadlock. Because, as we also learned, you can't convict unless you have a plurality of at least two. So you can't acquit him, because most people think he should be convicted. You can't convict him, because you have 36 against 35. You only have one more. What does the Mishnah say we do? Daram elu kenegar elu. They keep on deliberating. Ach yir ech min chayvim divrei mezakim. Until one of the people who was voting for conviction will change his mind and vote for acquittal. Ask the Gemara, v'isa, if Rav is correct that by the vote you could change your mind even from acquittal to conviction, why doesn't the Mishnah say that you could, the way we could end the deadlock is that one of the people who were voting for acquittal will now vote for conviction? Listening nami ipcha, answers the Gemara, Tana, schus kamahadar, achoy v'loy kamahadar. The Tana is looking for a situation, as we said earlier, the Pasuk says, v'tzilo ei, they're always looking for a scenario where the defendant will go free, not where he'll get hung. Toshma, Dam Rav Yosef Chanina, Echad min ha-Talmidim shezika. One of the Talmidim said that, as we're learning, we already learned twice in today's shiur, that a Talmud who's sitting there has a right to get up and say an argument for acquittal. Echad min ha-Talmidim shezika u'meis. And he passed away. Rino, sorry, the halacha says, we view him, kilu chai, as if he's still alive, and when we take a tally, when we take a vote, we assume that he's considered voting for acquittal. Vamai, if Rav is correct, ask the Gemara, Neymar, why don't we suggest, if he would have been alive, he would have changed his mind. Says Gemara, hashtam hi lo hadabay. You're right. Rav says he can change his mind. We're referring here to a situation where he didn't change his mind. And he voted for, he was arguing for acquittal. Unfortunately, he's not alive. So we have to now assume what he would have said. The assumption is that he would have continued saying what he said all along. Now this Gemara, if you recall, well, we discussed this halacha at the beginning of the parak about a Talmud being allowed to make an argument. We quoted a machloikis rishonim. If I remember correct, it's Machlokes Rambam and Ramban. If, when a Talmud makes an argument l'schus, is he brought on to the Beis Din? Or he just makes the argument and Beis Din hears? This Gemara is clearly an indication that he's put on the Beis Din. So in fact, the Mefarshim ask, according to the Rishonim, who say that he's not put on the Beis Din, how do they understand this Gemara? The Gemara says that we assume that his vote will remain the same. We assume that his vote will remain the same. Of course we assume his vote will remain. If he's not in a Beis Din, where does he get a vote? So I saw a very interesting pshat. And according to this pshat, the Gemara is saying much more than we think the Gemara is saying. What the Gemara is teaching us according to this pshat is as follows. He's not put on the Beis Din. But he made an argument for acquittal. And then he passed away. You know what the Gemara is teaching us? We have to be concerned that if he would have been alive, he would have been so eloquent in his argument that he would have been able to convince the other Dayanim, the ones that wanted to convict, that they should really change their vote. And therefore, even if they don't change their vote, the halach is that this defendant will go free. Because there's always the concern, there's always the concern that he had an argument for acquittal, and had he had the opportunity, he maybe could have influenced everybody else. So he's not a member of the Beis Din.
but he has a tremendous, profound effect. Continues the Gemara. Shalch Metam. L'divra Rabbi Yossi B'chanina. According to Rabbi Yossi B'chanina, the Rabbi Yossi B'chanina that we learned at the top of the Amid says that an aide cannot argue Bein L'schus, Bein L'chayva. Maitz Mechlal Rabbeinu. He is clearly in argues with Rav that you can't change your mind. So see that according to Rabbi Chanina, you can change your mind. So the Gemara got the Girsa wrong. The Girsa says Ein Maitzet Mar. Rav and Rabbi Chanina could coexist. Toshma continues the Gemara. Again, a Mishnah we're going to learn in Daf Lamed Vav. The Mishnah says Shnei Sofer Hadayom. They have two Soferim. Omdin Lefneim. Sit in the court. These are court scribes, court reporters. Sit in the room as Bezdin does the deliberation. Echem in Amin, Vechem in Asmoil. One on the right side of the room and one on the left side of the room. The Kais from Divrei Mazak from Divrei Mechaim. And they record the arguments. Machloikas Rishonim, how exactly it works. Rashi learns that both scribes write down everything. And therefore, if there's a discrepancy, we have to check. Well, it's always better to have two people recording than one person recording, because somebody might have not heard properly or not recorded properly. The Meiri learns that you have one reporter recording all of the reasons to quit, and you have another reporter recording all the reasons for conviction. Bishlama, says the Gemara, Divrei Mechayvim, to record the reasons why people feel there should be conviction is understandable. Because the halacha is, as we've learned and will continue learning, once there's a reason, we never are quick to convict. We're never quick to convict. And since we're never quick to convict, we have to do halona. That means after an argument for conviction is made, we have to give it a night to rest. So now we could understand it very well. Why can we understand it any well? Let's say the Dayan on Monday gave a reason for conviction. It's recorded. The next day, he comes up with another reason for conviction. We're going to not, so that's on Tuesday. Halachically, we will not be able to convict this defendant until Wednesday. Because since a new argument was made, and every argument for conviction requires halona, we're going to have to wait at least till Wednesday. So again, says the Gemara. Bishlama, Divrei Mechayvim, we have to record the reasoning that the people are suggesting that there should be conviction, because L'mocha Chaza Tamachrina, because maybe the next day a new reason for conviction comes up, and if there's new reason, we have to make Balamevet Halona. We have to make a new Halona Stin. Ella asked the Gemara, Divrei HaMezakin, why do we have to record the reason for the Mezakin? Lamashum, Dichaza Tamach L'chayva, that if this person will come up with a reason for conviction, that we don't pay attention. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the Yad Ramah explains the Gemara by Richas, so as does Rashi. If the reason is that we need to record the reasoning for this person because he has to stick to his reasoning, we can understand why we have to write it down. But if the reason is, all we want to know is where he was standing, so just write that he felt he should be exonerated. We don't have to give that his reason. The fact that the Braisa teaches us that we have to give the reason is a raya, that because once he gives a reason for exoneration, he has to stick to that even during the voting. So as the Gemara, that's not the reason. We have to record the reasoning for acquittal. There's a whole different reason altogether, which will open up a new sugya in a moment. Kedesh lo yom mishnayim tam echad mishnei mikros, which means as follows. Let's say you'll have two dayanim. Both are arguing for acquittal. And both are quoting psukim to back up their position. Now we have halacha, as the Gemara will teach us in a moment. The Torah never teaches us the same halacha twice in two different psukim. So if I say he should be acquitted, and I say this pasuk is the reason, and you say he should be acquitted, and you say that's the reason he should be acquitted, then one of us is wrong. So when we take the vote, one of our votes has to be automatically discounted. That's why the reasons for acquittal have to be recorded. However, the Marik and the Ramah and and the Shach, I'm going in historical order, Marik Sarishin, Derma, the Shach, say, this is pretty obvious, let's say you'll have a number of Dayanim that are involved in a case, and we agree that the defendant should be acquitted. But we have different reasoning, not psukim, different logic. There it's fine. Even though we get to our conclusion in very different ways, as long as our reasoning and our basis for thinking aren't contradictory to each other, the fact that we got to our conclusion differently is not a problem, and we can combine to be tallied together. That's the halacha. But there's a fascinating shach for Rabbonim, who Paskin Shaila is based on this concept. He says the following, this comes up every day to Rabbonim who Paskin Shailas. You're asked a question, a halacha question, and you start taking out Sfarim. And you look at the Sfarim, you don't want to Paskin on your own, and you have difference of opinions in the Sfarim. So what should you do? So, first glance is what you think at first Ashkofa to do is not what the Shach says you should do. First glance, We're brought up with Acharab Mlahatis. We live in a world of democracy. You take a vote, and you'll see which Sfarim say you should mutter, osser, kosher, treif. Says the Shach, that's not the way to go. He says, only in a Bezdin, where Dayanim sitting together, so there we follow the majority, even if they're not in agreement logically. But when it comes to Sfarim, it's a whole different concept. Why? He makes two very strong arguments. First of all, nobody has all the Sfarim in the world. So you happen to have in your library 10 Sfarim that discuss the Shaila. There's nobody that has every Sefer that exists that discusses every issue. So if you're relying on counting, so you can never count. Furthermore, these people, these Sfarim, these Rabbonim who wrote these Sfarim didn't sit in a room and talk together that they could convince each other for their position. I wrote my Sefer, you wrote your Sefer, you wrote your Sefer. It could very well be that I wrote the Sefer and I hold its mutter, and you wrote the Sefer and you hold its osser. Had we sat together, we could convince each other one way or the other. It's not the same setting of a Bezdin, and therefore, says the Shach, when a Rav has to paskin a Shaila, not to completely discount the majority opinion, but that's not the way to paskin a Shaila. Continues the Gemara. Kibraimene, Rav Asim, Rav Yochanan. If two Dayanim came to the same conclusion from two different psukim, mahu, can they be counted as two votes? So he said, they're only counted as one. One of them, as I explained, must be wrong. Ask the Gemara, Menonimili, what is the basis of this? Amr Abaya, Dama Kro, the Pasuk says, Achas Dibra Lakim, Shtayim du shemata ke'oiz lo lakim. Teaching us, mikro echad, yoitz l'kam etamim. One pasuk could teach us numerous halachas. However, ein tam echad, one halacha cannot be learned, yoitz m'kam across from many pasukim. The Beir Shmuel Tana, the basis for this, is a different source. The pasuk says in Yirmiyo, kufate shifoitz etzela. Ma patezeh mischalik l'kam etzoitz. The rock is broken into many pieces. Af mikra echa joitz l'kam etamim. And Tosfos right away points out that the pasuk is a different pasuk. The pasuk actually is saying the opposite of what the Gemara is saying. The pasuk is saying, we're trying to explain that the pasuk means that you bang on a rack and the rack splashes all over. But the pasuk says it's not the rack that breaks, it's the hammer that breaks. So how do we understand it? So Balbatish pshat that I saw is that sometimes you have a rack that's also made out of metal. So it's the hammer that will break, not the rack. Another pshat is because the Gemara wants to compare the Talmud Chochem to the Patish. Because the Gemara says, if the Yetzirah wants to influence you, what do you do? And you are like the hammer that can destroy him. So that's why we compare Torah to the Patish. So the Gemara now looks, we're going to spend the Amud of Gemara to try to find a situation of Heichi Dami Tamech Mishnei Mikros. What is the situation where we have one psak coming from two different psukim? Amr Avzvid Kretnan, Mishnah Masechta Zvachim. The Mishnah said, Mizbeich Mekadish Esaroyloi. that if you put something in the Mizbeach that was potentially ready to be put on the Mizbeach, the best example I could come up with is, let's say you had a carbon. It was a good carbon. Then you made it into pigul. So if you put that carbon, even though you're not supposed to, you put it on the Mizbeach, you may not remove it. Rav Shuaimer, Kala Aroi Leishim, any carbon that could have been burnt on the Mizbeach, Em Oila Lo Yered, should not be removed. Shenema Oila Ala Moita, Ma Oila Shirui Leishim, a carbon oil that is supposed to be burnt, Em Oso Lo Yered, Af Kal Shirui Leishim, anything that was potentially roi to be burnt on the Mizbeach, the Halacha is Em Oila Lo Yered. Rav Gamliel Oimer, same Halacha, Kala Aroi Le Mizbeach, Em Oila Lo Yered, Shenema, Hiya Oila Moita Al Mizbeach, Ma oila shirui l'gab mizbeach in mosel atayrit. If you have a good carbon oil, you put it on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to remove it. Of course, shirui l'mizbeach, anything that's put on the mizbeach, I'm oila lo yerit. V'tavai ma'akum abba. So what are both of the Gamaliel and Yeshua teaching us? That if a carbon became possible, as I explained, there was, it became pigle, etc., you may not remove it. The nafkamina is only, from which word do they learn that halacha? Mar. Rabbi Yeshua learns it mimoita, from the word moita. Omar and Gamliel learns it mizbeach. So this is clearly a situation where they have the exact same halacha coming from two different psukim. One of them must be wrong. So the Gemara, it's not true. Because it's not just that they have the same halacha coming from two different sources. There's a halacha de genafgamina between their two approaches. Because the halacha miflik pligi. There's a nafgamina and a halacha from which pasuk you learn it. The Tani, as the Sefer, as the Mishnah there in Masechta Zvochim teaches us, Ein Bein Divrei Rav Gamliel Divrei Yeshua El Adam VaNasachim. If you learn it from Oila, Oila teaches us anything put on the Mizbeach. So Dam is also put on the Mizbeach. There's Rikas Adam. The Nasachim are poured on the Mizbeach. But they're not burnt. They're liquids. They can't be burnt. So it's not just that they're learning the same halacha from different psukim. It's not the same halacha. They have a nafkamina and halacha between what they're saying. Not a good example. Shagmirayma dam and asachim, since he learns it from the word oila, lo yerdu, and Rabbi Shua's opinion is going to be yerdu, because it's on the, it's something that's not burnt. It's not moita. So again, what is the Gemara looking for? The Gemara is looking for a circumstance where we have the identical halacha coming from two different psukim. Elamar, Papa Kretanya. Again, Masech Tzvachim. Rabbi Yitzchak Gamliel Oimer. The Torah Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Kol HaNegei Mizbeach Yigdash, anything, even something that's possible, that is poor on the Mizbeach, Yigdash, and should not be removed from the Mizbeach, Shemei Ani, I would assume, Ben Roy, Ben Shen Roy. Even if it's an item that's not supposed to be put on the Mizbeach, we say every day, Ki chol sor v'chol tevash le'sekrivim emenu ish l'Hashem. So let's say sor or tevash would put on the mizbeach accident. I would think that they may not be removed because the pasuk says kohen and gave mizbeach yigdash tamlam kvasim. Torah uses the words kvasim ma kvasim ruim af kol roi. This is another good example. I just want to say for the record, a chaya. We know that animals have two categories. They're behemoths and they're chayas. No carbon can be brought from a chaya. Tzvi, ayol are good examples. So again, it would be the same nafkamina. According to this limud, I would think that if it came on the mizbeach, it shouldn't be removed. That's what the pasuk says, kvasim. Kivayim oila. Ma oila ruya. The Torah speaks about oila. Af koroi. V'tvaya. Ma'akamamata. So both of them are teaching us that something which is possible, which is inherently disqualified to be put on the Mizbeach, doesn't have the halacha that if you put it on, you remove it. Just ma'a ma'isle mikvasim. Rav Yosef Glili learns it from the word kvasim. Ma'a ma'isle ma'ayla. So isn't this a situation where they have the exact same din, just different psukim? Says the Gemara, no. It's not such an example. Because the Omer of Adbar Hava, Oilus Oif Psulik Benaya. What would be the halacha if you bring an Oif that's a Balmum? Man, the Maislim Kvasim, the one that uses the word Kvasim, so he's limiting himself to animals. Ava Oilus Oif Loi. Man, the Maislim Oilu, Oilu includes even a Philus Oilus Oif, and therefore even an Oilus Oif that's possible that was put on the Mizbeach would remain on the Mizbeach.
So again, we don't have an example yet of the same halacha being taught from two different psukim. So we try again. Ela Amar Rav Ashi. We know there's a very strong iser to be makriv a carbon outside of the azara. Ketanya, when the pasuk Brisa teaches us, the pasuk says, "Dam yichoshev l'ishahu, dam shafach l'rabbis azarik." That if somebody chas v'sholem did zrikas hadam of a carbon chutz lazara, it's no different than being makriv a carbon chutz lazara, and such an individual is chayiv karis. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Ima, same halacha, but from a different place. Oli zevach, the rabbis as hazorik. V'tavaya, so both of them are coming to teach us the exact same din. Maika marba, they're both coming to be marba, the halacha is zrika. Just ma maislam b'dam yuchashiv. The Tanakhama learns it from the word, that's Rabbi Shmuel learns it from the words dam yuchashiv. And Rabbi Kiva learns it, ma maislam b'dam yuchashiv. So, again, here we have, it seems, a situation of the same din from two different psukim. Says the Gemara, there is a nafkamina. V'amar b'vuah, shochat v'zorak ikibinayu. What would be the halacha, just to put this into context? The halacha is if somebody does averis. For every aver, you get whatever oinish, shaygig, b'mezid, you did. But if you did the same avera over and over again, behelem echad, in one act of forgetting that you chayiv, that this is an avera, so you only bring one carbon. We spoke about this in Masechta Shabbos. What would be the halacha if somebody shechted a carbon chutz lazara and did zrikas hadam chutz lazara? Would that be considered like he did two distinct averas? And therefore have to bring two kabbonis, he did a bishayig, or is it considered one avera? Shachet v'zark ikibinayu. The did Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and chayv alachas, because the pasuk says dam shafach. In the same pasuk that speaks about shchita and zrika, is all one pasuk, and therefore it's considered one avera. Whereas the did Rabbi Kiva, chayv shtayim. So here we have a perfect example, where there is, so again the Gemara suggests, it's not two psukim teaching us the same halacha, because it's a nafkamina which pasuk you learn from. Rabbi Shmuel will say, if you did shchit and zrika, you'll be chayiv only one, onish, and according to Rabbi Kiva, you're chayiv two. Says the Gemara, that's not true, because ha'et malo, Amar Abaya, after Rabbi Kiva nami en chayiv el achas. The Amar Kro, Shom tala el asecha, v'shom taser, ervinu l'kro l'kul asiyas. The way that Rabbi Shmuel explained this is as follows. The halacha is, ein onshim elam kemas here. That every time the Torah tells us something is an isser that you're not allowed to do, they're really two psukim. You have to have a pasuk that tells you you're not allowed to do it, and that's called the azhara, and you have to have a pasuk that tells you the oinish if chas v'shalom you did the avera. Even though Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiv are arguing if there's what are the pasuk for the oinish for zrikas hadam, chutz lazara, there is no machlokes that the pasuk for azhara is all one pasuk, the pasuk that we just quoted. Shom in the Beis Hamikdash in the azhara tala al secha, only in the shom tasa. That's where you do the avoidus, not outside. So since you don't have separate azharas according to everybody for shchita and zrika, since you don't have separate azharas for shchita and zrika, nobody could argue that you'll get separate onshim for shchit and zrika. So there's no practical nafkamina between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. They both hold that if you did shchit and zrika behelem echad, you only chayiv alachas, you only get one oinish. And the machlekes is, what is the makar, what is the source for that oinish? This is an example, two psukim, two with the same din. Continues the Gemara. Din amamun is tanim b'yoyim. Din amamun, we said, you have to begin by day and end by night, but you could end by night. Din and nefashos have to be gone and end by day. Simen mishpat mana mata, menani mili. And the way the Aruch HaNer explains the Gemara is, going back to what we learned at the beginning of the parashah, the pasuk says, mishpat echad yilachem.
that Din and Nefashis and Din and Mamonis are treated the same way. Yet here we're not treating them the same way. Din and Mamonis, we say we can end by night. So Gemara wants to know why Taka. How do we know that Din and Mamonis could be completed by night? So the word b'choleis means all the time. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi tchilas din nami. So the tchilas din should also be at night. Says the Gemara, could the Rava? The Rava Roman. The Rava actually asked the question. On one end it says, v'shiftus am b'choleis. On the other end it says, v'yabi yoim hachilas banav, only by day. Okay, it's at the teachers. Yoim, the tchilas din, the beginning of the Torah has to be by day. Laila, the gmadin, you could only do a gmadin by night. The Farshim debate, I mentioned this when we learned the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, what does gmadin mean? Some suggest gmadin, everybody agrees gmadin means just issuing the verdict is fine. The question is, how much more than just issuing the verdict can be done by night? Some Rishonim say that deliberations also could be done by night, but not accepting Edim, that can never be done by night. And there are some that are even more makel and say that even the accepting of Edim, as long as the Din Torah was begun by day, could be done by night. There's actually a very nice raya I saw from the Sefer Rinas Yitzchak that you could perhaps do a Din Torah by night. Pasuk in the Torah. The Pasuk says that when the Malachim came from Avram Avinu, so Lot was sitting, v'hu yoshif Pesach Shahir. So famous Rashi. Oysa yoim minu adayin. That day Lot was appointed to be a dayin. Now also is obvious that the Malachim only came to Lot by night. They spent the day in Avram Avinu's home. So how could it be v'hu yoshif Pesach Shahir? You're not supposed to do a Din Torah by night. So he says two terutzim. One terutz he says is, this din is only by Jews. He was a dayan in Stom. There weren't too many din Torahs going on in Stom. Another rayi says it's the Gemar din. Our Gemara is teaching us that the Gemar din of a din emomnis can be done by night. So v'u yoshev, he was finishing a din Torah. And if you look at the pasuk, the word yoshev is chaser. Because it wasn't, he didn't start the din Torah, he was only completing the din Torah. Says the Gemara. Masnisin d'loik Rameya. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rameya. The Tanya Rameya Omer. Matam Malaymer, Apiem Yir Kol Riva Kol Nega, V'chi My Inyan Riva Meitz on the Goyim. What's the connection between financial disputes and looking if somebody Chas V'Shom has a Nega? El Makash Riva on the Goyim. Ma Negoyim B'Yoyim. The Goyim have to be by day. The Ksiv U'B'Yoyim Harois. Af Riva B'Yoyim. The entire financial, the entire also have to be by day. Ma Negoyim Shloi B'Sumim. Just like Negoyim, it can't be somebody who's blind. And the Mefarshim say blind doesn't mean completely blind. That's obvious that he's disqualified from seeing a nega. He's completely blind. Suman here means somebody who, Rachman Tzlan, is blind on one eye. The ksiv, l'chol mari ein ha'koyim, he has to have complete vision. Af riven shalai b'suman. That's how we learned the halachas of a din Torah from the Negoyim. And now we go the other way. Omakish Negoyim l'rivim, mar riven shalai b'kroivim. You can't use a karev to paskin a din Torah, af negoyim shloi b'kroivim. You can't have negoyim looked at kohanim who are your relatives. Interesting shaila in the Rishonim. I don't want to go into these questions today. We'll learn these questions in Mitzvah Shem. What would be the halacha if you have a kohen who's a relative, but he's not the one that's going to make the decision? He's only going to issue the decision. He has a talmud chochem behind him who's not your relative, who's not a relative of the person who has the nega. Is that considered kriyvim or not? Which really comes back to a much more fundamental question. Because the halach is that a kohen is the one that has to declare him if he has a nega or not. What does that mean? That the kohen has to make the decision? Or does the kohen have to make the declaration? So let's say you only have a kohen who's amoritz, you can't ask him. Could he have a talmud chacham telling him what to do? Afrovon rivim shloi besumen. Ima rivim b'shloisha. So if we're going to compare, ask the Gemara, Rivim to Negoyim, should we say that just like a Din Torah requires three Dayonim after Negoyim B'Shloisha, so too the examination of a Nega should require three Dayonim, V'dinhu, and we can make a strong argument, M'mayna B'Shloisha. If we talk about somebody's money, you need three Dayonim, Gufoy, like Kolshkein. Certainly we have to talk about the person being about a Metzaira, which is much worse, you should need three Dayonim. Hamalayma v'huva al aron a kain al echad. Halamadata. From here we see shafil kain echad roya sanagoyim. So here we see that a din Torah of mominus has to be strictly by day, according to Rameya. Says the Gemara, who sam yedavid b'shvus of Rabbi Yochanan? There was this person that was blind in one eye who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan. David don dina that used to paskin din Torahs. V'loyamalei Rabbi Yochanan me'idi. Asked the Gemara, hechi avid hachi. How did he do this? Rabbi Yochanan has a rule throughout Shas that we follow a Stam Mishnah. And I always explain the reason is because if Rebbe left it as anonymous, it must be that he's considered authoritative. But tonight, kol ha-kosh l'adun, kosh l'hoid. V'yeshto kosh l'hoid, v'en kosh l'adun. V'om Rabbi Yochanan to explain that Mishnah, l'suya b'achas, suma b'achas me'enof. So he's disqualified. So how do he let him paskin? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan stam achrita ashkech. He found a different stam Mishnah. It says, dinim mom nistan b'yoyim, v'goyim b'layla. Now, layla, by definition, everybody balayla is like blind in one eye. Why is everybody balayla like blind in one eye? Because it's dark. So that's why we see that somebody who's blind in one eye could pass in the din Torah. Ask the Gemara. So we have contradictory stam mishnayis. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. My omer the high stamma mahai stamma. Answers the Gemara. Ibai same stamma the rabbin adif. Our mishnah here is a stam mishnah that represents the opinion of the chachamim. The other Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah that represents the opinion of Rameya. A Stam Mishnah that represents the opinion of the Chachamim is a more authoritative Stam Mishnah. V'ibay same Mishum Dektani La Gabel Hilchasa De Dima. Our Mishnah, this Mishnah is a Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, which teaches us all the halachas of Dinei Torah. The other is a Mishnah Masechta Nida, that is not the subject of Din Torah, and therefore Stam Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, when it comes to halachas of Din Torah, is considered more authoritative. Thank you.